looking at the Proverbs from topical standpoint, and the Proverbs we want to look at this evening deal with the subject of charity or sharing and uncharitableness toward the poor and the needy. It's something that is taught throughout the Word of God, and we see in the Old Testament law provision was made for the poor, and it's not our point to get into that, but neglect and oppression of the poor is warned against specifically in the Old Testament. And in Hebrews 13, there's a reminder. If we turn there, Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, there's a reminder not to forget to do something. In verse 15, it says, "By him," that is Christ, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And notice verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate," the word communicate there doesn't mean to talk, it means to share. "To share, forget not, for with such sacrifices," it shows the extent or the degree of our sharing, it's to be sacrificial. "With such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now, in all of these topics, we see these are the how we live if we have heavenly wisdom. And the Bible does plainly teach that there are some contributing causes to poverty, such as sloth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read that if a man does not work, neither should he eat. So sloth leads to poverty. Love of pleasure leads to poverty. Notice in Proverbs 21, verse 17, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Proverbs 23:21, we're told that bad habits lead to poverty, such as drunkenness and gluttony. Now, that being said, not all who are poor and needy are guilty of these things. But because of these things, wisdom must be exercised in sharing with the poor, in sharing with the needy. We do not in any way want to encourage or enable someone to continue in a lifestyle that leads to poverty. So when it does come to sharing, before you just hand out money, when it comes to sharing, there is some wisdom to be exercised. At the same token, you cannot think about it so much that you do nothing. So I want to look at some Proverbs tonight that deal with this subject of charity to the poor and to the needy. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 26, we read, "There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet or more than is fitting, proper, or necessary. But it," that is withholding, "tendeth," or is disposed to poverty. The liberal, referring to the generous individual, the unselfish individual, an ungrudging individual, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now in those verses, the one who scatters and the liberal soul, the one that watereth and the one that selleth, all has reference to the individual who shares what God has given him, shares his blessings, just as the farmer scatters his seed plentifully over the field and expects a proportionate increase. The one who plentifully shares his blessings for the honor and glory of the Lord will have increase. At the same time, the one who withholdeth, that has reference to the selfish individual who refuses, who absolutely refuses to share what God has given him. That individual, if we turn to 1 John chapter 3, that individual lacks the love of God. In 1 John 3 and verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up, there's a refusal there, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So there's a rebuke to selfishness. And then if we go back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy, that is, he that honoreth his maker, or God, hath mercy on the poor. Now, to oppress is to ill-treat. It is to attempt, a greater degree of that would be attempt to oppress them and keep them in their poverty so that you can rule over them. And certainly no one here is, I'm sure, guilty of that. But there may be some. Children have more of a problem with this than adults, but there may be some who ill-treat those who do not have as much by making fun of, by feeling superior to them. That is a way of oppressing the poor. And to do so is a reproach, or to do so is a disgrace and a shame. But on the other hand is the one who honors God, the one who has a reverence for God, the one who has an adoration for God in his or her heart. This individual has mercy. That is, this individual shows kindness. This individual shows generosity. This individual shows sympathy on the poor. So the proverb reveals that being selfish or unselfish is really a spiritual matter. If we're selfish. It's because we do not have we do not reverence God like we ought to. So that becomes a spiritual problem. Selfishness is a spiritual problem. If we have a proper regard for God, then we also have a proper regard for others. Then notice in Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17, verse 5, whoso mocketh, which is an act of ridicule, to treat with contempt, whoso mocketh the poor, again, reproacheth his maker. And he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. The individual who's glad at calamities is one who takes some sort of pleasure over the misfortunes of others. And immediately people begin to think in their mind, well, who amongst God's people would do that? It's really more common than you'd like to believe. Those who take some kind of sick pleasure in the misfortunes, for lack of a better word, of others. Again, this is he that is glad at calamities, this individual shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 24:17, we'll not turn there, but also basically says the same thing. And then notice in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity, which includes compassion and liberality, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Now that's quite a promise. He that is unselfish, again, we're not talking about just handing out money so people can continue a lifestyle that leads to poverty. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about genuine need of someone who, again, you're not enabling a bad habit, you're not encouraging a sinful lifestyle, they're not lazy, and on and on we could go. But he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. Now, again, this pity means liberality. The churches of Macedonia were a good example of this. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. These churches had affliction. These churches had deep poverty. Yet they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power or ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their power or beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. They gave beyond their ability. They gave of themselves. They didn't just give money. They didn't just give material aid. They literally gave of themselves. Now, if we are, if we show liberality toward others, if we are willing to share with the needy and do it for the right reasons, again, you have to have a right motive. If you have a wrong motive, that undoes everything. You have to have a right motive. And a right motive is not, well, I'm going to share with the poor here because if I do, then the Lord will give me such and such. No, that's selfishness. You do it because it honors and glorifies the Lord. That's the only motive. The only motive is for the honor and glory of the Lord. When you do that, it is like you are lending to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. In other words, you can't lose. You share, and you share for the right reasons. You can't lose. You're not going to fall behind. Notice in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, begin reading with verse 35. Jesus said, "For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." That's what it means to lend unto the Lord, to show liberality. Is the same as lending to the Lord. It is the same as if you did it to the Lord. When you share for the right reasons. You share with the right motive. It's the same thing as if you had done it for the Lord. And that ought to thrill us. That ought to encourage us to be a sharing. To be a sharing people. Then notice in Proverbs 22 and verse 9, "He that hath a bountiful eye," this has reference to an individual who looks, who notices, who recognizes the needs and miseries of others with the intent of helping, with the intent of being generous, with the intent of being unselfish, with the intent of being benevolent. "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed." This individual shall be blessed. The individual that looks for occasions to be a blessing, the individual who looks for occasions to share with somebody else, that individual shall be blessed, for he giveth his bread to the poor. And all through the Bible, we see that this individual will be blessed of God. And the individual who shuts his eyes, the individual who neglects the needs of others, that individual shall not go unpunished. But notice, this individual shall be blessed. Notice in Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Verses 1 through verse 3. "Blessed is he that considereth the poor," the needy. "The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Talking about the one who considers the poor. This is how he's blessed. He'll be delivered in time of trouble. "The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. And what a blessing when God makes your bed. When God makes your bed. That's a comfortable bed. When God makes your bed. But this is the blessing to the individual who has a bountiful life. This is the blessing to the individual who's willing to be of help. The individual who's willing to share. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. It's talking about sharing. It's talking about sharing what you have. You won't lose it. You'll find it again. In Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. Again, the individual who is willing, who is willing to share, that individual will be blessed of the Lord. In the book of Luke, chapter 6. Book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. In other words, the one who will share will be blessed of God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 and 8 tells us that they will find God's grace to be sufficient in all things, in all areas of their life. Then notice, if we go back to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor. The reason this individual oppresses the poor is to increase his own riches. So this is talking about an individual who takes advantage of the needy for his own benefit, for his own selfish benefit. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. On the other hand, he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Selfishness is at the center of both of these. One side is there is an oppression of the poor in order for you to keep power, in order for you to keep rule. Our government does that with all of their programs. They're not interested in helping the poor. That's not what it's about. And then there's the individual who gives to the rich so he can get more. Either way, selfishness is at the center of both. Personal gain is the motive of both. So again, the motive here is wrong, whether it's oppressing the poor or whether it's giving to the rich. And then notice in Proverbs 22, verse 22 and 23, rob not the poor because he is poor. That is, don't take advantage of the needy just because you can. Just because you have the ability to do so. Because you have the power to do so. You do not take advantage of the needy. Rob not the poor because he is poor. In other words, because you can. Because it's easy to do so. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, talking about when they came into the gate of the city for judgment, matters of judgment. For the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Again, this is simply a warning against taking advantage of the poor, taking advantage of the needy, taking advantage of the disadvantaged in any way. There is a very strong warning to those who would do such a thing. And again, selfishness is the center of that as well. Proverbs 28, verse 27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes, that is, you just pretend not to see the needs of others. You ignore the needs of others. And then you say, well, I didn't know. If I had known, I would have helped. But you intentionally shut your eyes. And when we don't know, we need to ask ourselves, could I have known? Could I have known by just being more observant? He that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that shutteth his eyes deliberately shall have many a curse. So here there is a promise concerning those who share, they shall not lack. In other words, true generosity will be rewarded. But the proverb also contains a warning about shutting our eyes to the needs of others. And then lastly, in Proverbs 29, verse 7, the righteous, here again, this is a matter of spirituality, the righteous considereth the cause of the poor. But the wicked, so you have the righteous, you have the wicked. This is a matter of spirituality. But the wicked regardeth not to know it. So this proverb speaks of regard to the poor. It also speaks of inconsiderate disregard. And again, there is a warning. And again, it is a matter of, it's not just simply a matter of caring, it's a matter of spirituality. It's truly a matter of spirituality. The righteous and the wicked. The righteous thinks about the needs of others. The righteous reflects upon the needs of others. The righteous is mindful of the needs of others. But the wicked does not consider. The wicked refuses to think about it. The wicked refuses to reflect upon it. The wicked refuse to be mindful of it. And they simply keep what they have. So the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that God gives, causes an individual to be unselfish, causes an individual to be benevolent, causes an individual to be compassionate and concerned about the needs of others. And such is exemplified, of course, in the parable of the Good Samaritan. In that parable of the Good Samaritan, we're not going to turn there, but there are several attitudes. There are basically three attitudes that are revealed in that parable. You remember, a man fell among thieves. The attitude of the thief is, what's yours is mine. That's the attitude of the thief. What's yours is mine. He's that selfish. But then the parable goes on and talks about a priest and a Levite. And they both had the ability, and they both had the means of helping that Samaritan. They both had the ability, they both had the means of sharing and of giving. But their attitude is, what is mine, that's their attitude. And that's the attitude of many also, what's mine is mine. And then of course there's the Good Samaritan. And his attitude was, what is mine is yours. That was his attitude. So three basic attitudes. And you find those attitudes toward others. Again, there are some people that you dare not give money to. It would be foolish. It would be unwise, because you are not helping them. All you're doing is enabling them to destroy their lives. That's not being a help. That's not being a help at all. You're more helpful to tell that individual, go get a job. You're able to work, go get a job. Quit your drinking, quit your drugs, then we'll talk. You do not help these individuals continue in a sinful lifestyle. That's not truly helping. But when there are those who are in genuine need, and that starts first with the household of faith. That starts first within the body. The church is absolutely wrong to help everybody outside of the church and neglect the very ones who are within the church. That is absolutely wrong. There's nothing right about that. So we have to, again, show compassion. And show pity and show liberality, especially to those of the household of faith. I'm not even for supporting financially a missionary or a preacher who is not willing to work. I'm not saying they have to work. I'm saying they have to be willing. I mean, if they're not even willing to look for a job, don't ask me for help. Because, again, you are encouraging a very bad spirit. So we have to exercise some wisdom. But again, we have, at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't go so far that we shut off everybody. And we only become concerned about our own little bitty world. And for some, that world is mighty, mighty, mighty small. For some, it only includes themselves. So we have to be careful that we do not shut our eyes to the needs of others, and that we examine, can I help that individual? How can I help that individual? So, again, if we have heavenly wisdom, we're going to be generous. If we have heavenly wisdom, we're going to be unselfish. But also, heavenly wisdom will cause us to exercise wisdom in sharing with the poor. Brother Mark, if you'd come and lead us.